This is Talking in Stations, a podcast about EVE Online. I, as always, am Artemis Albosa, your host and a member of Noir. Joining me today on the show, we have a fantastic guest. But first, we have our co-host with me today. Silver is out for tonight, so replacing him, we have Matterall of the Sunday Show and also a member of Waypoint Set.
Hey, how's it going, Artemis? I like the way you set that up. We have a great guest, but before we get to a great guest, we got this guy. Nice.
You got to build the suspense.
I gotcha.
Also joining us on the show today, our second co-host is Talking in Stations Chair. Welcome. Oh, no. Talking in Stations Chair has been replaced at the last moment with Ash Tarothi, a member of the Convocation of Empyrean. How you doing, Ash?
Greetings, fellow Empyreans. I am Ash Tarothi, Commander of the Convocation of Empyreans. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. And rounding out the show today, as I alluded to earlier, our fantastic guest, Master Glorfy, otherwise known as MG, a member of the Intergalactic Space Hobos.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming on. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it today and talk about Intergalactic Space Hobos. We're doing a bit of a series on what does LoSEC look like in 2020. If you missed last Wednesday's episode, it was a recap of some stuff, some look at the Faction Warfare Treaty, some look at some other things. Definitely go check that out if you're more interested in the overall topic of what does LoSEC look like in 2020. But today we're going to focus specifically on Intergalactic Space Hobos. Now, I am completely unfamiliar with this group, as I mentioned last episode, and I haven't done much research whatsoever in the meantime because I wanted to discover and learn along with you, dear audience. So as far as I'm aware, Intergalactic Space Hobos are a pirate organization, so they're not part of Faction Warfare. They live in LoSEC, and they like to drop caps. That's all I know. So MG, can you correct me, please?
No correction necessary. That's exactly who we are, a pirate group from LoSEC. The cap part is pretty true as well. We've always enjoyed dropping caps on people. We've moved away from that, actually, though, when CCP nerfed carriers. Didn't really work for us small gang-wise, so we've been changing things up a bit.
Right on.
Why hobos?
Well, there's always been a poor man meme in our corporation, Filthy Peasants, and hobos just seemed like the next level of it. Got to embrace the dumpster.
No doubt.
Looking at your group, looks like you've got a couple hundred members in the Alliance as a whole. How did you guys start? Did you start as a corporation and then become the Alliance? Was the Alliance formed and sort of corporations joined? What's your origin story?
So the Alliance actually started as Arson Industries under a dude named Drake Arson, who helps me run the Alliance today. He and Filthy Peasants kind of teamed up in solitude for a while before we all kind of took a break from the game. And kind of came back to it, tried to build up the Alliance, had some problems, learned some lessons, and then kind of on our third iteration of working as an Alliance, we rebranded, so to speak, moved away from the Arson name and moved towards Hobos, which was more fun. And as you can probably see, our logo is a dumpster, so there's, you know, general air of fun to it, and that's helped us build up a lot.
The old "we're terrible at this game" meme.
We might actually be terrible, though.
You might be the first group to actually be terrible. I doubt it, but
I don't know. I've seen some pretty good battle reports coming out from you guys. Definitely, you can hold your own. Speaking of those battle reports, what sort of fights do you guys get into? What does your gameplay look like, so to speak?
It varies pretty heavily. I mean, it's one of the strengths of living in LoSEC and living near a NullSec region. We do everything from gate camping, which is what we're doing right now, to doing roams into Syndicate or through wormholes or things like that. And then occasionally get some nice fights on structures or over something more objective.
I see. So it's a question I ask every single group who I run into in LoSEC. Do you mine?
There are people in the Alliance who mine, is probably the best way to say it. You know, some people really like that. That's their ISK-making methodology. Others hate it and don't take any part of it. So,
mine in LoSEC?
Yeah, people who mine in LoSEC.
Now, do you guys do the moon mining or Athnor, some of those objectives that you have talked about fighting over?
Yeah, we do a limited amount of the Athnor thing. Then there's a lot of people who do the ice mining belts. There's a few good ones. When we lived in Solitude, especially, there were a few nice ice belts, and dragging fuel out there kind of sucks. So, yeah, get some of that going on.
Yeah, get the local resources to power your structures locally. But do you guys, how do you do it? Do you have lookouts that kind of, I mean, you would know how to do it, right? Because you would probably kill other miners that were in low sex. Or how do you make sure that your guys don't get killed?
Well, we might feed every once in a while with the mining stuff. But in all honesty, what helped us the most when we were in Solitude especially is a lot of people just stopped going after our miners because we'd always have a Sino on one of the procurers and we'd turn it into a content farm. Which is the main reason some of us would actually go about bothering with the mining at all, is to get a fight out of it.
Oh, bait people in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Ashtarothy, you mentioned to me when I first asked you to come on the show today that Space Hobos and your group, Aderon Robotics, or a group which you have flown with for years, Aderon Robotics, had worked together in the past. From your perspective, tell us about that relationship.
A lot of it happens while I have not been around, but from my understanding, the Hobos and Aider have worked together within Black Rise and other low-sec area to do not necessarily faction warfare stuff, but bigger target-y stuff.
Bigger target-y as in let's go all gang up and kill snuff type stuff? That seems to be a popular thing among low-sec groups that are not snuffed out. Is that a thing that occurred, MG, your opinion?
We've worked with a whole bunch of people in various try to go get snuff fleets.
I'm looking here at one fantastic AAR from that includes a battle report with over 80 billion ISK destroyed. Looks like it happened over a Hog Hitman's Fortizar in Heck, which is high sec for the record. Interesting that you guys participated in the high sec thing. How exactly did this all work out?
Well, it was the worst thing ever because I had to pay to fix my sec status. But outside of that, it was a lot of fun. We got contacted about possibly getting in on the fight over the Fortizar. Some dudes from Black Legion did, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of I think the timers and stuff like that. And we turned it into a big brawl with them and fighting Hog Hitman and Pirate. We got promised a really good fight, and we got a really good fight. We got to, you know, fly Canes, just a cheap, fun doctrine to, you know, enjoy, and fought off some tornadoes, Hecates, all sorts of random good stuff.
So just so people know, Hurricanes are preferred in low sec because they're pretty cheap ships, and they do a lot of damage, so you can get a lot of visceral action out of them. And it's fun when you're fighting other small ships because you can apply the damage pretty well. So that's why they're so popular in low sec, and they're kind of a throwaway doctrine that people use.
Yep, they're our oldest fleet composition.
What other sort of fleet comps do you guys fly?
We mix it up. You know, there's obviously Leshaks right now are pretty overpowered, so they're a necessity, a staple. We like to run Lokis for doing blops drops, some combination of Lokis and bombers. A lot cheaper than throwing blops battleships at stuff, and it means we can, you know, take some fights as well. And then as far as roaming comps, we like to either fly our brick fleet of Navy Augs or Nagas, and you know, they're just fun comps that are cheap, easy to throw away.
Whoa, pause for a second. Nagas? Whoa. Are these blaster Nagas?
Oh, absolutely. There's no other way to fit a Naga. Railguns are for the weak.
What sort of compositions do you fight with these blaster Nagas? Are they just like we want to get a fight, so we're going to bring out Nagas and let anything come at us? Or do you have a particular selection of targets?
No, we take them roaming. I mean, they're a great comp because people see Nagas and they say, I can fight that. And they usually can, but we usually get kills as well because, you know, 1K DPS supported by webbing and stuff like that is no joke. My favorite fight that we ever took with them was actually about a year ago. And we were living out of Yorgrana fighting the local Nullsec residents. And they were trying to bait us with a carrier. And they were going to warp triage in on grid to save the carrier once they, you know, got us all bubbled and fighting. And with, you know, 10 Nagas all doing 1K DPS, we killed the carrier before triage even landed.
I don't understand. You said blop drops. Those are black operations drops. Where do the Nagas fit in?
We don't use those for that. We do Lokis and bombers for that.
Okay. So Lokis and bombers for the black ops. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Ash.
I was just going to say that that Hog Hitman event, that got on the Scope News, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Were you one of the, did your guys, one of the people that got interviewed for that?
I didn't get interviewed, but I got my character portrait thrown up there for a little while. So that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
Nice.
I was going to ask, we talked about that one fight you did in HiSec. You mentioned some of the doctrines you used in a recent fight you had. What other stuff have you guys been doing recently?
Well, so I took a break over the course of December. And when I came back in January, I decided we were going to really focus on roaming in particular. I think roaming is a good thing for us to be pursuing as we kind of like get into the year and try to eye up what objectives we actually want to take on. We've gotten involved in a few other random fights right now, but I don't think we're like really tackling anything. It's really about roaming and just finding content as much as possible.
Did you have fun with those filament things that came out? I think they're about to expire, right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
So unfortunately, a lot of my alliance mates have been having a lot of fun with them. I have not used a single one yet.
Yeah. So what's this about Blackout in our chat here? We'll bring on the Blackout. You guys liked Blackout?
Oh, absolutely. Blackout was great. A lot of good content out of that. A lot more roaming content too, because people weren't just holed up in a particular system anymore. They moved out and found targets.
Would you want to see that come back?
I wouldn't want to see it come back exactly as it was. The way that it was when CCP had it out was a bit too skewed in terms of the advantage was all on the offensive and the defender had nothing. But things like an actually time-delayed local and some nerfs to local would be fun and probably would really bring back more roaming content.
When Blackout first hit, people were like, oh, everybody's going to go into LoSec because LoSec is just better than NullSec now. Did you see any new entrants to the LoSec area when Blackout occurred?
We saw a little bit, but not enough to really be able to attribute it to Blackout. No more than the usual people trying out LoSec. But like I said, we did see a lot more roaming through LoSec, just people looking for the fights. So maybe people were going places that just weren't Solitude, which is where we were at the time.
Sticking on the trend of recent EVE changes that may have affected your gameplay, the Sino changes are actually still in effect, which for those unfamiliar in the audience, basically you used to be able to fit a Sino to basically anything. Now you can only fit it to Force Recons and Black Ops Battleships, or they're very expensive. They're also more tanky. How has this affected you guys, if at all?
Quite a bit. I mean, we'd been dropping cap usage pretty steadily just because we'd found that Lokis and bombers were more fun and we could get more fights out of them anyways. But the Sino changes definitely make being in a small group where a force recon costs a bit more ISK compared to some of the richer groups. Things like that, logistics have become a bit more tough. And we've had to change a little bit of how we do capital escalations and things like that. But the changes to capital escalations are just more modifications in gameplay. I'd say the logistics are the thing that have hurt us the most.
Logistics as in moving your capital fleet around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So either moving the capitals themselves or ships inside of them.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, it makes it tougher to deploy when you have to risk those Sino ships, and people who miss actual movement fleets usually end up getting shafted a little bit.
So we mentioned earlier that you are not a member of Faction Warfare, but we have seen throughout many different pirate groups that even though a particular group doesn't participate in Faction Warfare themselves, they still fly in the space and look for content there because Faction Warfare is great at generating small fights, solo gang fights, stuff like that. It gets people out into space, so to speak. And as a result of that sort of bait on the hook, so to speak, a lot of pirate groups will, in some form or another, interact with Faction Warfare in a more meaningful fashion, be it trying to protect mission-running hubs, which is something we saw recently with the now-defunct Faction Warfare Treaty. Is that something that you guys in Space Hobos have had some experience with? Have you done anything in Faction Warfare besides just, oh, we'll go shoot the people?
We mostly do the go shoot the people. It's simple. It's easy. There's a lot of a lot of people out and about taking the complexes. You get the fights on the complexes are always fun and different. See a lot of different unique ships out there too, because Faction Warfare attracts a wide variety of players, not just people looking for the most overpowered ship of the month.
It is. So pirate organizations have a hard time engaging in faction warfare meaningfully. Like, they can go and clear out plexes, they can help in fleets and all that stuff, but they can't spend any timers and they can't hurt the iHub. So pretty much all they are is defensive services. And so ultimately, often friendships between pirate groups and faction warfare groups center around apex fights, structure bashes, maybe an iHub where we need security or something along those lines.
I see. So looking at these sort of big fights, it's not an apex fight in low sec over faction warfare. But I do have an AAR here of you guys from just a month ago out in Syndicate, where it looks like you were outnumbered, you dropped a bunch of caps, and a big old brawl happened. Can you tell me a bit about this?
Are you talking about the one with Init and Vega?
Yes.
All right. So we fight Vega and some of the other groups in Syndicate pretty routinely. They're fun to fight.
Who are Vega? Just a quick TLDR.
They're a primarily German group living deep in Syndicate. They're about our size, probably a little bit bigger, and definitely outnumber us in EUTZ. Overall, pretty fun group. They do give lots of good fights. We'd been sieging one of their structures for that battle report. If I remember, it was an Asbel. At some point in the fight, Init decided to drop on us. We were definitely outnumbered, but traded pretty well with the caps that went in, which is one of the nice things about flying a few poverty fit dreads alongside some maybe more expensive triage. Overall, we had a good fight, enjoyed it. It's always fun to get a nullsec brawl. It's not always something you get, but that was definitely a close range fight.
I see in this fight you guys were using the Leshak doctrine. How do you enjoy that one?
Leshaks are great. They're overpowered as anything, but there's nothing like getting 2K DPS from a battleship, and really helps you move through capitals or enemy subcap fleets.
What's the poverty fit?
Poverty fit for dreads is all the T1 modules, skimping any expenses where possible, using heavy cap boosters instead of the capital capacitor boosters, just kind of acknowledging that they're definitely going to die, and you're just going on grid to try to get some DPS in.
I love that poverty fit. It's hilarious.
I think it's rather rather appropriate given the group.
The hobos.
Yeah, they really are strong with the theme.
Yeah, I like that. Consistent.
Yeah, like most groups, I ask for a bit of propaganda, and you get maybe like their alliance logo and a video or two that they've put out. But you guys have quite a bit of interesting propaganda, shall we say, here, which you have generously provided to our viewers on Twitch and or YouTube. Is it a cultural thing that you guys have? Like, what is the... I know you mentioned it a bit earlier when we talked about the origins of your group, but is there a bit more of a story to the whole, like, filthy peasants, space hobos narrative you guys are spitting?
The filthy peasant thing actually started as a Monty Python meme. In the core is made by a dude named Reese Mackinon. Yeah, he was just really into Monty Python that week or whatever, and was like, we'll be the filthy peasants from that. So that's how we got our start, and ever since then, we've always kind of embraced flying the cheap stuff when possible. Not always possible, but we have fun with it, and it's just a good way to play the game. Makes it exciting.
Why Solitude?
When we went to Solitude originally, it was more populated than it is now. There were a few nice little back pocket systems that you could farm belts, mine some ice, do some small stuff like that. And then there were a number of pipe systems a long solitude that were good for camping and fighting. And then you could also have easy access to Syndicate, and Syndicate's always been really solid in terms of having a decent amount of roaming content or gate campers to fight off or things like that.
I have an interesting question. Since you live in solitude, one of the things that several people, including myself, suspected was that when the Wardex system came, we would see an increased interest in solitude, as that is a place to put your high-sec citadel for your wars. Has that happened at all? Have you seen increased activity in solitude at all?
There was a small increase kind of right at the start. I think a lot of the smaller Wardex groups kind of folded, so we didn't have a like long-term interest. We even offered high-sec groups a safe place to house their structures, like for a Wardex HQ or whatever they're called. And still offer that for small groups interested, shameless plug. But there wasn't a large increase in interest.
Right on.
So Kazim wants to know in chat here, what coalition are you with? And I have a follow-up.
Coalition that we're with? We're not with anybody. We're completely independent, or strive to be.
Right. And so my follow-up is why?
For a few reasons. The first is making as many targets as possible. It's fun to be able to shoot at anybody and anyone and anything with no real strings attached. We've got friends in various groups, and you know, we like to work with other people when possible, but really having no blue standings makes it easy to just go out and shoot the nearest neutral.
Now, one reason that a lot of groups will join coalitions is for their own personal defense. It's like if they have some structures up, maybe it's a Fortizar, maybe it's a couple of Athnors on some money moons, and some larger group comes in to fight them, and they can't defend themselves on their own, so they call an even bigger fish over to the party. And that's sort of like how you get drawn into the coalition, so to speak. Is this like something that you guys have had to deal with, where because you're not in a coalition, a bigger fish comes along and starts to gobble up all your structures? You don't really have any counterplay, or have you found a way around that?
Kind of had it both ways. You know, we've been able to bat phone people before. You can always offer content to larger outside parties and say, "Hey, we're getting pushed in here. Do you want to? Are you interested in helping defend our stuff?" And you know, we've had good relationships with that. We've gotten big fights out of that. We were losing a war last year, early in the year, and we ended up getting help from Snuff out of all places, and it turned it into a closer fight, and in definitely helped us come out on top. So there's that, but recently, you know, Init's been fighting against us, and they're bigger, stronger, and there's nobody been. We've gotten some help against them, but we haven't really made that same push to bat phone as heavily. It's just not something we want to do in the sustained long run.
Tell me more about that that war where you got help with Snuff. What's the story there?
We were fighting a group called Nolsechnia Shalupin.
The Super Capital Hunters. They live out in Aridia, right?
Well, not anymore. I think NSH is kind of folded overall.
Pardon me. I just made the mistake everybody does. Did you say Nolsechnaya or Losechnaya?
Nolsechnaya, who is a riff off of LSH. So we still fight LSH when we can. They give some good content. But yeah, we actually had a bit of a war in Syndicate with NSH, who were led by Admiral Wheeler and Anur. And they're both great guys. Ended up becoming friends with them after we finished fighting each other. But at the beginning, we thought that they had us very heavily outmatched, which might have been wrong, but my intel game wasn't exactly on point. But we called Snuff for help, and they came. They were interested in the content, dropped some USTZ dreads, and led to a series of three or four dread brawls that were honestly really fun. With the highlight being the Alliance exec of NSH accidentally jumping a jump freighter into the Dread Brawl because he thought it was in a dreadnought.
Wow.
I think I remember reporting on that battle report a year ago. We're like, and there's a random jump freighter in this battle report. In fact, I think we had NSH on to talk about it too.
It was a really fun series of fights.
I should clarify, because it is something that is very easy to mistake. There are two groups. There is Losech Naya Shalopin, which are a very long-standing alliance. They historically live in Aridia, and they are super capital hunters.
By the way, that name is Russian, so you know. That's why it sounds weird. And it actually means street kids. And the Losechnia is Losech street kids. So that's what it means.
Awesome. That is some really cool intel. So, yeah, they live in Aridia, and they hunt super capitals, just wait for them to pass through, jump on them, and kill them. And they're very much a feared group in Aridia. Passing through Aridia in capitals or super capitals is a very dangerous affair. Even Black Rise at times, they'd pop up there. And then Nolsechnaya was, as MG mentioned, a joke based on the Losechnaya name. And many people confuse the two or just assume that they're allied because of the similar names. But Nolsechnaya is typically a USTZ group, or at least the ones that I've been familiarized with, because they used to live out and operate, at least a portion of them, over in Great Wildlands, and specifically in Scalding Pass as well. They had some soft and stuff. Yeah. So that is why, if you recognize the name Nolsechnaya, they have come from our previous episodes covering the Cure out in Scalding Pass.
You know, another thing, they're in Aridia, not by accident. There's two regions that are actually bottlenecks for travel, especially from the south to the north. One of those is Aridia, which means there's only a few paths that capitals can take, so they can lock those down and get the big kills that they want. They also hunt a bunch of other stuff. They'll put battleships on gates just to blow up pods that are going by. They hunt everything, but they do a really good job with capitals. And after they destroy a capital, they actually take selfies with it, which cracks me up. So they all have pictures of themselves, all their kills, which is kind of funny. But the other place, that is the other region that's like that is, it's not Devoid, but right next to it, Derelict. Derelict, right above Catch in Providence. And I think Nolsechnaya used to be there for a while, so it's kind of funny. And so was the Wrecking Crew. I think they hung out there as well.
Yep, and the Wrecking Crew currently lives in Derelict. I should say we, because Noir is a member of the Wrecking Crew. We are currently staged in Camelot.
Oh, didn't know that. Are you serious? Oh,
yep. We'll go on the fleets. We're there. We're partners in crime, so to speak.
Yeah.
We're not a significant numbers portion.
It's no accident you're in that region, because that region is also a bottleneck for capital movement.
Well, let's get back to MG and... I was about to say Losechnaya. No, MG and Intergalactic Space Hobos, and talk about sort of the theme for our last series of episodes and continuing on for a few more episodes into the future. What does Losec for you in 2020? And putting a lot of this under the context of two big key points. Number one is that CCP has a renewed focus on Losec. They said that under their previous development model, basically Losec was always just under the level of priority they needed to do a full rebalance path on everything. And so they're looking to do more changes, and they've already done some there. So the sign of change is Losec was sort of collateral damage, so to speak, and some other things like that. But also changes related to faction warfare with warp core stabs and stuff. And then the other major thing that happened was actually emergent gameplay related, with Snuffed Out disbanding, and their main FC is going off looking for a more casual playstyle, is the information that I had heard. And so that Apex Force that effectively was a massive power and something you always had to be worried about if you lived in Losec is gone. And Wangs has sort of been stepping up to take that place. And in fact, look forward to 2 weeks from now, we'll have Wangs on the show to discuss their role as filling that power vacuum. But looking towards you, Intergalactic Space Hobos, MG, how do those two things, or maybe something else we're not even looking at, shape what you expect Losec to look like in 2020?
Yeah, so I think Losec is going to be fun in 2020. There's a lot of good content still left in Losec. I still stand by it's the best type of region in the game, even if it hasn't gotten a lot of love and attention from CCP. It's very connected with everywhere, so if you're a group like Hobos and you're looking for being able to fight an NPC null, and HiSec and Wormhole Space, you couldn't ask for more in terms of being connected to stuff. As far as CCP's developmental changes and having a focus on it, I'll believe it when I see it. Not to sound skeptical, but I don't really trust CCP. They usually kill play styles and force people into big groups, but we'll see. I am glad that they're at least acknowledging that Losec is in kind of a kind of a weird spot and need some love and attention.
Well, they don't do that on purpose, though. It's just the mechanics tend to make people behave in a way of finding safety in numbers, right?
Yeah, they don't intentionally go out there and say, okay, we're going to force everybody into the blob today. But when they do things like, you know, say nix the Alliance tournament, I know it's like picking the lowest hanging fruit, but when they kill something like the Alliance tournament, well, all that small gang playstyle suddenly vanishes, and anybody who is interested in that, they either have to go find a blob to join or a bigger group, or, you know, stop playing the game. And there's been a lot of like little things like that over time. And I hope that doesn't come to LoSEC. I hope that they don't remove the stuff that makes it fun to be on your own or in a smaller, medium-sized group.
We talked a bit about this, taking out Alliance Tournament. Why was it important? And there was something to... Well, there was two facets to it. One is it seemed the audience was dwindling. But on the other hand, the Alliance Tournament gave certain types of players that would fit the Alliance Tournament, something to keep their chops for. There was some goal that was going to be a periodic display of prowess in how you could control your ship and actually fly it. And that kind of kept you around. And because you were around as an Alliance Tournament player, you created content normally in LoSEC.
Well, I mean, like this is a conversation that I had a lot when Alliance Tournament was still a thing. Like every year people would ask whether or not it needs to be a thing, whether or not it was consistent with the rest of EVE Online, because it is well structured, where a lot of people see that EVE Online PvP needs to be chaotic. And I would always argue that, you know, that EVE is about different playstyles and different career paths. And the AT represented the career path of the athlete, of the champion. And I think that was incredibly valuable. And so it doesn't even matter whether or not it's only once a year, because if you're an athlete, you train all year for your once a year tournament.
I think you couldn't have said it any better when you said EVE is a game about, you know, different play styles. And I really hope that CCP's renewed LoSEC attention doesn't, you know, kill off anymore.
The thing that makes me hopeful is that the person that's kind of running it right now is CCP Rise and Team Talos. And Rise, of course, kind of comes from that LoSEC roaming vein. So I suspect that, like, of anybody, he would have a better idea of things. And we also are entering into the quarter of PvP conflict. So for the next 3 months, we should be expecting to see a lot more changes. We know that, well, we don't know what all we're getting tomorrow, which is, I think, a whole nother topic. But, you know, we know that there's going to be more focus on wormholes, more focus on faction warfare, etc.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Thursday.
Take it away, Astrothi. Give us the lowdown. What do we know? And more importantly, what don't we know?
We don't know a lot. Okay, so basically, there was a patch that was slated for the 14th. And then it was delayed until tomorrow. So it should have been yesterday, but instead it's tomorrow.
Hold on, just so people are hearing this later, that means that it was slated for the 14th. It's actually going to release 2 days later on the 16th. Go ahead.
Correct. My bad. Okay, so it was supposed to be on the 14th. Now it's going to be on the 16th, we think. We haven't received any updates since the delay, and we also haven't received like any patch notes or any confirmation of what's going to be there. What is also interesting is that last week they took Singularity off, or they put it into permanent VIP mode, or at least indefinite VIP mode. So we haven't been able to get on Singularity, and there hasn't even been any updates, to Singularity in like half a month to a month now. Like there is, and the update that we did get was very bizarre. Like there seems to be a lot of background data.
Didn't they shut off the ESI link? Because the data that we got that showed updates to Singularity, we were pulling from the API, the ESI. And didn't they shut off that output?
They did shut off the output, but I don't believe that is where HoboLeaks gets it. Like whenever a new build comes out, HoboLeaks strips apart the build into their component files.
Okay.
So there are no patch notes, you were saying.
Right. We have no conference. So the only hint of anything that we have received, there's two that I know of. One is as a Christmas stocking stuffer, CCP Rise and Team Talos in their blog left us a hint, which is a picture of a shield with the Sancha logo on it, which is super teasing.
What's it mean?
So there's a implant set called Amulets, right? And they are for the Blood Raiders, and they increase your hit points, or your armor hit points. Those used to be called Slaves, and they used to be on Sancha, but there is no equivalent for shields. And when they went to go try to figure out an equivalent for shields, they figured out that Sancha is a shield fighter, whereas Blood Raiders is an armor fighter. And so they moved the slaves from Sancha to Blood Raiders and renamed them Amulets.
Well, slaves are armor, right? Let's put that out there if people don't know.
Amulets are armor now. They used to be called slaves. Now they're called amulets. So, and then as a follow-up to that, there's supposed to be another set of implants that are coming out. There's actually supposed to be like 3 or 4 different sets of implants, but the most famous of these is what's known as shield slaves, which would be the shield equivalent of those amulets, which will now be known as slaves and drop from Sancha. This is like meme territory level of like promises and pullbacks. So, shield slaves have been talked about for half a decade at least. It was promised at the beginning of the summer. Rise even cited it as one of the examples of why they don't want to talk about things unless they're ready to roll it out, because things can get pulled back at the last second. And yet, here we are with a picture of a shield with Sancha on it as literally the only real clue that we have of what's going to happen next.
Which means this patch probably has the long-awaited shield slaves.
That is the hope.
Well, I'm also like, I think there's going to be more happening with the Triglavians, to be honest with you, because Triglavians has been CCP's main, most recent push into the mystery element of Eve. And they have like not been pushing the updates to the invasions or anything like that over to Singularity. It's just been people have noticed things happening weirdly on TQ, and that's the first notice that we had of it. So I'm expecting something big to happen with the current situation with the Triglavians. And that's sort of the reason they took down Singularity, and that's sort of the reason that they've done all this stuff, is try and keep that secret. That's my tinfoil hattery.
Well, so this goes back to the other clue that we have, which is actually myself and Mirandalorian have been asked. We're going to be with roaming around with CCP Convict tomorrow. Apparently, there's something new to do, and they want us to do it. And we've been told to like bring a certain kind of ship and like what type of damage to be ready for. But basically, we haven't been told anything else. So there's something coming. I have no idea what it is. But what is interesting is if you look on Singularity, one of the things that we do have is new rats that are being added called Irregulars. So there's a bunch of pirate Caldari ships, Drake, Osprey Navy Issue, Caracal, Moa, Cormorant, Manticore. There's a Nightmare. And then there's a set of diamond rats for freighters. So there's a diamond rat for the Providence, all 4 of them, although they're all named Providence right now for some reason. And then a bunch of other Caldari stuff, fortified Caldari bunker, or Caldari Junction, Caldari Lookout. So it looks like some sort of attack involving the Caldari. I don't know which side that they're on or who is involved. The fact that there is a Nightmare seems to continue to confirm the fact that I think that what's going to happen next is an attack by Sancha.
While we're on the topic of the Triglavians, before we get too far into the weeds, when the Triglavian invasions first reached Losec, there was... at least in my circle of influences, there was a bit of an uproar over the amount that they could be farmed if you had just had people like stuffed out in a couple billion-isk faction battleships in a dead-end low-sec system. They just fit a sign onto one of them, bring in some faxes or whatever if need be. Actually, I think they couldn't because it was sino-jammed. In any case, they would just print isk running these Triglavian invasions in low-sec. And to everybody else, they were just like, it's a nuisance. I can't hang around on gates or look for fights in those systems anymore. But to some people, it was just a money-printing machine. MG, with you guys and hobos living out in sort of dead-end, low-traffic areas, although it gives you good access to roaming space, have you had any opportunities to take advantage of this farming?
So by the time Trig stuff rolled around, we'd actually moved into Placid, which is where we're presently situated. But we've run into a lot of the Trig stuff. For a while, we were getting an invasion or whatever they were called about every other week. And yeah, they're more of a nuisance for us than a just ISK farm. But I know some dudes who made some pretty decent money off of that stuff.
Right on. All right, sorry to cut you off, Ash. Let's jump back into it. With you were talking about Sancha is almost certainly going to be attacking something.
Right. Well, that's kind of Kaldari. The common theory. Well, there is a lot of Kaldari. There's a lot of Kaldari equipment. There's Kaldari equipment labeled as pirate, and then there's this pirate nightmare. We do know that there. And then in the lore, there's a lot of tension. Well, there was a conflict between the Amar and the Mimitar, which led to Amarian rats attacking a Mimitar militia's structure, which was pretty intense. And it looks like they're kind of ramping up for the faction warfare overhaul. But what's interesting is that the way they're doing it is that it really seems like they're moving towards peace. Like everybody's, there's all these different meetings happening and different people are kind of talking each other off the cliff. And there seems to be like this push towards peace among the four empires, which means that you know that something's about to go horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't think we've mentioned it yet, which we should have. The Eve is going into a quadrant-based development cycle, which means that each quadrant of the year, each section of 3 months, if my math is right, is going to have a theme to it. And there's going to be even smaller chunks of 2 weeks that Team Talos works with, but the theme for our first quadrant of 2020 is fight or flight. That's like the only solid information we have about the JDRA update is that it's going to be about fight or flight. It's going to have to do with PvP is what they say. So based on that, if peace happens in faction warfare and an update that's called fight or flight, I'm going to be so salty.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They should just like, you know, oh, we had Yulai convocation or number two and now there's no more faction warfare. Bye, guys. We're all at peace now. I don't see that happening.
That's a good point. Just this last thing. I like what Freedom Tower says here. It says big market implications when Singularity goes silent. And I was typing up an answer to that. Normally, CCP is going to put wraps on information that's going to affect the market of EVE Online because you don't want any information before that patch hits. So normally, if there was a lot of secrecy around something, it meant that it would have market implications and people couldn't jump on it. So that used to be true. I think what's true these days is because of the chaos era and the idea of surprising players and letting actual changes hit the actual game without going through the test server and being seen and then adopted to before that change ever makes it into the game. Since the chaos era started, there's been a lot more of that. Have you seen any pullback from that sort of a thing, either any of you guys?
I mean, it makes it like my podcast less fun because I don't have patch notes to read through and be like, hey guys, this is coming up. How hyped are you?
Well, the point of this is that they're trying to surprise the players, right? And so now when CC goes down, is it because it's just a new mechanic? Is it an invasion because of lore or is it a market thing? We don't know because now they're trying to surprise us a lot more often.
I also want to suggest that there could be more technical reasons for this. As I mentioned before, we haven't actually received a meaningful update to Tranquility since the 18th. Singularity. We've actually received more recent updates to Tranquility than Singularity. But one of the things that is interesting is that the last significant change that we have has something like 14,000 changes to attributes and 2,500 changes to effects. And 4,500 changes to strings. So what they're doing is actually a fundamental change in the way that they are structuring their data, which implies to me that they're changing some sort of the engines in the background. There's also some other stuff like the fact that we know that we should be getting the transportation stuff, like the new animations for transporting between different systems. And yet we haven't gotten it on Singularity, even though it was on Singularity for like over a couple of months. So it's obvious that CCP is like working on some pretty big, like under the hood systems. And like, those are kind of things that if it's in a state of not quite there yet, you just don't even want anybody to see it.
There is also the final point to make, which is I think the least likely of all of them, that Singularity is meant to be used as dual testing for both Tranquility and the Serenity server, which was the Chinese server, which has been shut down for, has it been a year now? At least a number of months. And we've seen a number of Chinese players migrate over to TQ as a result. Quite frankly, I kind of hope Serenity doesn't go back. But there were business deals in place to put it back up and to restart the Chinese server for those players. They don't have to use VPNs and things like that. It could be that they're just taking CC down to develop for that server.
It may not come back because their problem isn't technical. Their problem's political in China. I could get into it because I talked to PC Gamer guys about it, and we talked about what it's like to push video games in China. And also when a Korean company, Pearl Abyss, bought CCP, it complicated matters because China doesn't let Korean stuff in as easily as stuff from the the West. So there's a lot of different things, but essentially it's a political problem that CC can't come up. That's not confirmed, but that's all our clues put together.
All right, and we'll nip the politics in the bud and move on to something significant. Well, I would say significantly more serious, which is the current situation going on in Australia and how you, dear Eve player, can do something about it. We mentioned last week that CCP had announced a Plex for Good campaign was going to be starting in the near future. It is now live. Plex for Good for the Australian bushfires is up. You can donate now. Matterall, can you give us a quick rundown of how this thing works?
Ash, do you know about this?
Yeah. Okay. So Plex for Good is something that has happened, I believe, twice in the past. I think it was last time for like the hurricanes in Haiti, I want to say, or earthquakes, tsunami, something. Either way, when there's a great catastrophe in the world, occasionally CCP works with the player base to do this campaign called Plex for Good. And what we can do is basically donate Plex. There's a character named CCP Plex for Good, which is part of the CCP Corporation. And Plex can be donated to her. And based on any Plex that's donated to her will be converted into a donation of that much money by CCP to the Australian Red Cross. They are requesting minimum donations of 100 Plex just for the sake of ease of processing.
Yeah, so definitely something to look forward to. See if you can donate if you can. Definitely something to help out your fellow EVE players over in Australia. Go check out the article. It's on the EVE website, the Plex for Good, because it goes into just the scale of the devastation that these bushfires have caused and why it's really necessary to provide aid in whatever way we can. And on that note, some friends of MG, perhaps, or at least some enemies of MG, maybe, in the initiative, particularly their FC Darkshines, is putting on a Plex for Good party with Triglavians. It's happening this Saturday, January 18th at 1900 EVE time. Looks like an F7C Tech H0, which, MG, that's in Syndicate, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe? All right, we'll Google it later.
That's a tough in question. Any case,
I'm a uneducated hobo.
I just ride trains.
All right. Well, we'll check out the system later. There's plenty of time to go on .lan or set your autopilot route. But as long as you get there, there is going to be the new Triglavian dreadnought, the Zernitra. Ashtarothy, help me out.
Zernitra. Yeah.
Zernitra, the Triglavian dreadnought, which was so freaking OP, it got like nerfed on day one, but is now still a thing, and presumably the first one ever to die will be dying in F7C on the Saturday, the 18th, at 1900 EVE time. Go check it out. Go have a party. Donate some Plex to Plex for Good while you're at it. Looks like you can bring some T3 cruisers if you want to, like, show off and things like that. But shout out to the initiative and Darkshines for doing this thing, for making a party. And shout out to everybody who takes part. It looks like if you're a big group, wink, wink, space hobos, and you're looking to get a fleet in there, they will be working to facilitate you with some Titan bridges, if that is something you may be in need of. So definitely go have a party, kill a Zernitra, donate to Plex for Good, help out some Aussie bros. Or Aussie, I never get it right.
Aussie sounds good.
A couple of additional things. One, they want you to make it in a contract to the CCP Plex for Good character with a 14-day expiration. And then in addition to that event, there's going to be one on Friday at Nalvula, which is actually in the blog itself, the Brawl for Bushfires charity battlecruiser free-for-all, which I'm not actually too familiar on the details about, but there is links to it in the dev blog.
Yep, Nalvula Planet 1. Bring your battlecruisers, I guess. Looks like they've got some Hurricanes and some Drakes there. Nalvula is in Blackrise, right? This is Talking in Stations Jeopardy.
I'm looking it up.
Oh, you cheater.
Lone Trek.
I know it, but Lone Trek?
Lone Trek.
That doesn't even sound right.
Point 4 system owned by the Kaldari State.
Why do I know that name? Ah, there it is. Hold on, I'll tell you why it's famous.
Is this your wait? We're transitioning
yes,
now.
It's right.
Hang
before
on, pause, Matterall. Hang on. We're moving into a section we like to call Something You Might Not Know. This is a little section of the show where the hosts and the guests tell you, dear listener, something you may not know about EVE Online. Could be related to mechanics, could be lore, could be history, but it's hopefully something you don't know. Take it away, Matterall.
So you may not know, but near the high-sec area of Lone Trek and the null-sec area of Tribute is a little area that has some pretty popular systems. One of them is Hakonin. You may have heard of that. I'll come back to that one. Or Tacy. And right next to that is Nalvula. And that's why I knew that name, because the quickest path from Tribute to Jita goes right through here. Tacy, Nalvula, Jan, those systems. So anybody who's moving stuff back and forth from a high-sec market of Jita to the Nullsec area of Tribute is going to know these systems very well. What you should know about Hakonin is it was where a lot of when there's a fight where somebody wants to irritate or harass Tribute, which is a northern Nullsec area, they're going to usually stage somewhere like Hakonin, which is a neighboring system, and it goes. It has good jump range into the area. So that's where a lot of dreads would be. That's where a lot of, I believe Hakonin is where a lot of fights are staged. So when the Imperium came up north to try to attack NC and PL, they stationed in Hakonin to get that range, that force projection range into the north, but also staying in Losec where they couldn't be camped in and destroyed.
Yeah, Hakonin was like the staging point for a significant force in World War B. It was the staging point for an Imperium deployment with like a bunch of cruise foons is all I really remember from that deployment shortly after or a little bit after World War B. Then there was the initiative deployment up to Hakonin while the Northern Powers PanFam was still in there. And then there was also the deployment from the Imperium again where they just glassed all of Tribute. So it's a very popular system.
So that area, you may not know, but that is a very popular system, and Nalvula is a neighboring system to that.
All right. Ashtarothi, do you have something that our audience might not know?
Sure. I actually have two small things. One, you might not know that we're currently sieging Tama, so there's plenty of good fights there. Bring your frigates. But no,
like
but
four jumps from Jita, right?
I know. It's great. It's the last system in the southern half of the war zone that is not owned by the Galente. So I've told my guys that they're not allowed to do other stuff until I own Tama. But on the other, the actual you might not know is what you might not know is that there is a guy running for president of the Galente Federation. A player by the name of Juliana Soder is a long-standing member of the Galente Militia. I think he's the CEO of like the main corporation within Valor Accords, long-term role player, and he has declared that he is running for the Galente presidency, and the lore has acknowledged it. There has been a ticker or a headline that read that his they have some sort of charity or they have a grant that helps pay for your fees to run for president or whatever. And so he got approved for that, which basically means that he's running for presidency. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. We'll have to find out in the next couple of months.
Wow. All right. My something you might not know is more mechanics related. So for anybody who's come back to the game recently, there's been a major change, a long requested one, which is shareable bookmarks. And one group, which a fantastic group. They've been on TIS many a time for the amazing things they've done. Signal Cartel is using this in a particularly special and useful way. They have long been residents of the system called Thera, which is a special wormhole system that has a lot of connections to wormhole space, also to K-space, which is nullsec, lowsec, highsec, things like that. And it also has NPC stations, which notably you can jump clone into, and you can also set your death clone in Thera. And the thing that I want to talk about is their use of these shareable bookmarks, where Thera is now a scan probe optional. Usually, if you're exploring in a wormhole or you want to live there, travel through there, you have to use scan probes in order to scan down the signatures to then warp to the wormholes and leave and go in, because there are no stargates in wormholes, only wormholes themselves as your conduits in and out. But what Eve Scout is doing is they've created a public access list for bookmarks for both the entry points and exits from Thera. So all you have to do is add this thing. You can even put it offline when you don't need it. And at any time, if you need to get into and out of Thera, or more likely, if you're traveling around, want to take a roaming fleet somewhere, just quickly check eve-scout.com and look to see if there's a connection nearby where you want to go. Then just use the Eve Scout bookmarks. Don't have to have a scanner. Don't have to waste your time scanning, even if you're like bad at the minigame. You can do it just with Eve Scout. And don't forget to make a donation as a gesture of gratitude for the hard work they put in and this fantastic service they provide. If you want to go one step further, you can do what I do, which is just keep your death clone in Thera. And then whenever you get potted, you can be in Thera and instantly have, like, almost guaranteed a shorter route to wherever it is you want to go. Because if you death clone back into Thera and then use these bookmarks, you can get basically anywhere in Eve faster than you could by normal gates. Even if you did some system in Amar space is like the most centralized in Empire space, Thera will still get you there faster. So that's what I do. It's something you might not know about Eve. Hopefully you can get some use out of it. All right, last but hopefully not least, Master Glorfy, MG, what you got for us?
Mechanics again, but control, left click, drag, selects a bunch of things in space at once, which I love because it lets me AWOX multiple people at once.
All right. And I guess that'll do it for this week's episode of Talking in Stations. I hope you'd enjoy it. Thank you very much to my co-hosts, Matterall and Ashtarothy, for joining me today, as well as our fantastic guest, MG, from the Intergalactic Space Hobos. You can tune in again next week at the same time, Wednesdays at 2359 UTC. We'll be having Red versus Blue on, who are recent additions to the faction warfare scene. We also are going to have the week after that some members of Wangs or Pandas Out, the Alliance, which we've talked about many times on these episodes, so be on the lookout for those. Also, we have our regularly scheduled Sunday show at 1600 UTC. Make sure to tune in for that. Matterall, can you leak any information about the upcoming Sunday show, or is that all still too secretive?
Well, usually we just organize it late, but this time we're trying to work further in advance, but we're going to have a neat market show. We talked to a guy who set up markets in every region. Maybe it's every Empire region, I'm not completely sure. So it's a big market trader. Last year he was in the top percent of market traders. So it's definitely gonna be a market heavy show, of course, with some news. And then the following, or maybe on the same show, we'll have somebody that we talk to about what it is to scam and what some of the ethics and tricks of the trade are for scamming. So scamming, markets, all that kind of stuff on the next Talking in Station Sunday.
Awesome. That'll do it.
The
see you next
Gita
time.
Episode?
No, not Gita. It's not just Gita. They have stuff everywhere throughout the universe. This guy, this market guy, I'm super pumped for this story. Definitely tune in.
Yeah, let's find out.
All right. See you guys next time.